Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Across the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is our live weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. So if you're listening live, come on over to the chat room. The studio cam is on, and we will be talking about news and current events the first hour. And the second hour, we'll probably look a little closer into the Bible and the prophecy there and discuss how that's being fulfilled today, more especially. Okay, well, I guess we'll start out with the lighter side, with Babylon B, and see what they have today. Always with something funny. So let's see if they got anything funny today. Riley Gaines arrested for making trans activists assault her. San Francisco, former NCAA swimming champion and current women's rights activist Riley Gaines has been arrested and charged with forcing trans activists to physically assault her after giving a speech regarding protecting women's sports at San Francisco State University. So that's a thing going on in the news today. Trying to put a humorous spin on it there, but it's funny how all women sports celebrities are now becoming women's activists, but not after the Jane Fonda ilk, but to preserve their place from men who want to be women. Yes. Sad day in America when men want to be women. What happened to the day when men wanted to be men? Yeah, well, there are still some of us out here who want to be men, and real men follow Jesus, I think. But anyway, here's another one. Democrats accuse black man of going on vacation. That's what I thought when I read the article. I tried to get to the meat, to the good stuff of the article, and that's basically all that happened, is this guy's going on a vacation. So sure, he has a friend that has a lot of money, and he goes to his resort, but they're trying to spin it into a crime. And you know, those Marxist Democrats, they're really good. I mean, maybe we ought to get them some straw and let them spin it into gold for us. They're so good at spinning normal behavior into criminality. Just ask all the J6ers out there, right? Yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got here. It's good to see you there in the chat room, Jason. I was hoping some of the regular people would show up by now, but it seems they're all not showing up anymore these days. Getting lonely over here on First Amendment Radio. Nobody showing up. It's kind of sad. But we have Jason in the chat room, and I think he's new here to First Amendment Radio. I'm not sure, but you know, it sounds like he's new. And you might, the regular listeners could answer some of his questions if they wanted to. But anyway, let's see. Fake news you can trust. Support the bee. Let's see what else they got. Oh, TikTok nurses. Yeah, I remember that was a thing in 2020, I guess, when the nurses had nothing to do because the world was shut down and they stopped everyone from going to their regular doctor and hospital visits. So they all went dancing on TikTok. So nurse worried she might have to care for patients if TikTok is banned. Yep. Let's see. Wife tricks husband into listening to her by starting every statement with, "Welcome to my podcast." Oh, well, it seems funny to me, but yeah, because it's a thing. And I like this one. This one's pretty funny. You can tell these people are really being reached by the progressive missionaries introduced gay stuff to unreached Amazon tribe, right? Look, they got pretty little flags and t-shirts, but they probably don't have a clue what it's about, right? Yeah. Asking people living in huts in grass huts if they want to trans their kids. You'll see how well that works. And there's no money there. The progressive trannies are not going to go where there is no money. Yeah. Oh, see, what else do we have here? In solidarity with Ariel, Meghan Markle reveals Prince Harry once tried to kiss her. All right, well, that's about it for Babylon Bee. Okay, well, we have serious stuff going on out there in the world today. And I have an announcement to make. Yes, we are witnessing, well, we have witnessed the rise, and we are now witnessing the demise of America. And that's true, and I think it's okay. As I see an article like, where is this one? Oh, like this one here. Peace is breaking out in the Middle East, and Washington is not happy. And speaking, of course, of Washington, D.C., Americans could care less for the most part, but Washington, D.C., and all the warmongers and neocons over there are not happy, especially Joe Biden. He doesn't like it. And, you know, I see China over there brokering peace deals in the Mideast, and I'd say, well, yay, it's about time. Let somebody else be the peacekeeper of the world. America has done its job. Now it's time for us to come back home and take care of our own business and our own homework. Yeah, we need to do it. And good to see you in the chat room there, Eric, and also you. We have another you in the chat room. Press on the little green people button over there and change you to your name. That's a clue for you there in the chat room. And anyway, thanks for showing up, whoever you are. We'll find out soon enough. But peace is breaking out in the Middle East. And that's what I think when I hear China brokering deals. Good, we don't have to do it. Let China do it. Let them do it. Let them run around the world and make peace. I think that's a good trend. Yeah. If China wants to run around the world and make peace, then I think that's a good thing. And I think it may change China, too, because there are a lot of people in China that would like peace in China. You know, because peace only comes with true liberty. I mean, if you want true peace, it only comes with true liberty. So let China spend its billions. I mean, okay, we had the shadow government that works for the Antichrist over the last 50, 60 years move all of our wealth, all of our industry from America to China. And now look what we did for China. They should be happy. They should be thanking us, the people of America, for making those sacrifices yet under duress to enrich the oligarchs that also receive their riches by the hand of the Antichrist himself. I know a lot of people don't believe in Bible prophecy. They don't believe in a mark of the beast. Like the Bible says, you know, in chapter 13 of the Revelation, toward the end there, where it says that the Antichrist would be able to control everyone through the money powers on the earth by requiring them to get a mark in order to buy and sell. See, they don't believe that. But I do believe it because I'm watching it happen. And most of them say they believe it, but they act like it ain't so. Or they believe it's only going to happen after they're fake raptured off of the Counter-Reformation eschatology that was raised up, you know, of the pre-tribulation rapture and the seven-year tribulation deception, and all those books, those fiction books that they believe in. But no, it's happening real time. You're not going to be raptured out. The Antichrist is already revealed, okay, as the scripture says. It was in the fifth century that he was revealed, the fourth and fifth century the Antichrist was revealed, because the kingdom was divided into 10 parts. Yeah, the Roman state was divided into 10 parts then. And the Antichrist rose, and he ruled Western Europe for 1260 years. And his rule came to an end. He received that deadly head wound. But in their interim, another beast rose up. And that beast was the two-horned earth beast of the same chapter of Revelation, chapter 13. The two-horned earth beast rose up. And it did its job. It created, it exercised all the power of the Roman Empire before it, Okay, and it's still doing that now and has been, but it's on the demise. That exercise of that power is on the demise now, but it did create the image of the beast. The United Nations is the image of the beast. Okay? Because like the image before it in Daniel chapter 2, there was an image. I call it the Mystery Babylon image because the head of gold was Babylon itself. And in that image, we saw all of the governing powers, all of the prominent governing powers of the world from that day, Babylon the head, until the 10 toes and feet of iron and clay, our day. Okay? And that's our day today. So you have that image there. So we're looking for an image that is similar to that, because if the Bible interprets prophecy, then we have to look for the interpretation of the image in chapter 13 in the Bible itself. And the Bible itself only gives us one place to turn, and that is to chapter 2. So what is this new image of the beast? Well, it is a conglomeration of all the governments of the world in one construct, and that is the United Nations. So America has done its job, and this two-horned earth beast has two characteristics, okay? One is lamb-like, and the other is speaking, dragon-speaking. And boy, do we have that in America. But the two horns, they came up in equal height, and they remained equal throughout. One didn't drop off. One didn't rise higher than the other, like the other horns that we have. Because when we're looking for the interpretation of these symbols, we look in the scripture. And we see, like in the Medo-Persians, that one horn came up first and the other, and the one that came up last was higher than the other, and it was more prominent, and it ruled at the end of that beast power of the Medes and the Persians. But in the two-horned earth beast, the two horns, it rises up with two horns, and it never differentiates the two horns in size or power at all. And then we have no end of the earth beast. It just says that it lasts a short space. Its power and dominion is only a short space. And a short space compared to what? Well, the one that received the deadly head wound and then disappeared for a while, was and is not, and then reappears when the deadly head wound is healed. And here we are today. See, Tom W. says, the chat site banned me due to VPN. I have no idea what that means, but... Well, it's good to see you in the chat room anyway, Tom W. Whatever the problem was, I'm glad you got it fixed. And Guy and Jason and Eric in the chat room. Thank you guys for joining the broadcast here. But anyway, getting back to what we're talking about, peace is breaking out in the Middle East, and Washington is not happy. But because the Bible does, a lot of people say, well, America's not in the Bible. Well, what do they expect the word America to appear in the Bible? In the Old Testament, in Daniel, you'll never see the word Rome. But Rome is clearly depicted and recognized by everyone of every walk of life. And no matter what your method of interpretation, everyone recognizes Rome as the fourth beast power of Daniel. But it was never named. And you know why it was never named? But the other three before it, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, were named because they existed at that time. And the Revelation did not name, and Daniel and the Revelation, when they were given, did not name powers that did not exist. So anything future would not be named by the name that we know it commonly when it does exist. And that's why you'll never see the word America in the Bible, for the same reason that you'll see Rome in the New Testament and in New Testament prophecy, but you won't see it in Daniel because it didn't exist in Daniel's time. So if it exists, it'll be named. If it doesn't exist, it will remain unnamed. And America did not exist in 96 AD, so it would not be named. But if the shoe fits, so to say, wear it. And that's what I have to say about it. Show me something that works better. There is nothing that works better. Many have tried in the past, before America became prominent, to turn other things into another beast power, but they just don't work. It is the reality that we live with today. So it is a good thing when I ponder what is happening to America on the world scene, how it's being shunned, and hopefully we'll just fade away, go back home, and let the rest of the world take care of their business, and we'll take care of our own. Let the old world, let Europe, let Asia mind their business. We gave them everything, right? We gave them all of our industry, all of our money. We've been spreading it all over the world, and now we're running out of money. But we have a megalomaniac over there, a coup in Washington, D.C., an installed puppet, a procurator. That's what they call Roman installed puppets in other nations. They were called procurators. They would install either one of their own or someone out of that country to rule that country for them. And that's all Joe is in America. And they didn't like Donald Trump, so they hated him, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Apparently, that's the apparent scheme, is that they hated him so much. But Donald Trump did so much wrong in his last year that anything good he did was far outweighed by the terrible turn that he made in 2020, and makes me not want to trust the guy. Yeah. Like I've been telling people for the last couple of weeks, I think I would trust Robert Kennedy Jr. More than I would trust Donald Trump, because Trump was a Democrat too. Who's kidding who? And so our Robert Kennedy Jr. is a Democrat, yes, but I've seen his walk over the last couple of years. Now, I know he was very into the climate MacGuffin, David Knight puts it. He was very much into the climate MacGuffin, and perhaps still is. And, you know, because when I go to his child defense website there, I'll see a lot of things. But I think I was listening to David Knight yesterday, and I think he went a little over the top, because they put this article on child defense website about crypto coin. But they did have, if you read the article, you'll see that they had a solution. And I'm not sure about the solution, because they have that proof of work thing. And you have to work and spend a lot of money and use a lot of energy to mine crypto coins or Bitcoin on the web. And I don't know how all that works, but it seems kind of ridiculous, because crypto coins are nothing. So why would you have to work? There should be another method besides using all that electricity and stuff. But the comparing it to, say, what Google is doing and chatbot and all that stuff, and the power used by, the Pentagon and, the Intel network in America probably pales in comparison. The amount of energy using to mine Bitcoin probably pales in comparison to other uses that we would not like and we wish would go away totally anyway. And what about war? The war in Ukraine. I mean, what is the carbon footprint of that? Nobody seems to care. And I'm sure it's far outweighs everything else that is going on, with Bitcoin in America or anything else on the planet, as far as being a climate footprint, if you want to believe in that, we'll call it a MacGuffin, like David Knight does. Yeah. Okay, so peace is breaking out. Let's check out that article here. Peace is breaking out. While we're being distracted by the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war and Washington's increasing involvement in the war, tremendous developments in the Middle East have been all but ended decades of U.S. meddling in the region. And I say, hooray. I know a lot of people, you know, they're more war-minded and think that America should rule the world. Well, I don't think so. Like I said, if America, if the second beast, the earth beast of Revelation 13 is America, America has done its job. And I think it's time to back off. Yeah. So, let's see. Take, for example, the recent mending of relations between Saudi Arabia and formerly bitter adversaries Iran and Syria. A China brokered deal between the Saudis and Iran has them reestablishing full diplomatic relations. But see, this is the work of the Antichrist in Washington, D.C., because it's not the work of Americans. If you take the two horns, because I've been thinking about these two horns on this earth beast and what they represent. And if they represent the only division in the prophecy itself, and that is one being lamb-like, the other being dragon-speaking, well, I see this divide in America more prominent than ever before in the history of America. The divide is so prominent right now between those that hate the truth and between those that love the truth. And it seems to be a pretty much a 50-50 divide. But some people would ask the question, well, why, if it's a 50-50 divide, why is there transgenderism? And why does it seem like the dragon speaking side is winning? And that's easy to figure out. Because they lie, they cheat, they're willing to murder, to kill, to steal, and destroy. And it's becoming so obvious that they have no compunction about doing any of those things because they're doing all of those things. And so they get their way. So we need to fight fire with fire. I think here the words might be appropriate that Jesus spoke when he said, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And what does that mean? Why is a serpent harmless as doves? And I had a friend who was pondering that once, and he was trying to figure out what wisdom does a dove have? Yeah, they're like of birds, like they're their most helpless and stupid, it seems. They're like the sheep of birds. But what does it mean to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? Well, there's serpent technology. They lie, they cheat, they kill, they steal, they destroy. But the harmless as doves part, it means that you can use, here's the way I look at it. You can use serpent technology, but the motto would be harm no one. So, can you use serpent technology and harm no one? And that takes me back to, and you know what? We'll pick that up when we come back from this break. But I want to share this with you about this being wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and how we might learn from the Bible to apply such a principle spoken of by the Messiah himself. Wow. Because we need to do something in these days. We need an answer. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition, and I'm Nicholas Arthur. And let's see, I have this here from Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Boy, those words sound like the world that we are walking in, that God is sending us out into today. But being wise as serpents and harmless as doves reminds me of the story about Jacob and Esau. Yeah, those two brothers. And Esau traded his birthright for a pot of lentils, for a bowl of lentils, because he was hungry and he cared more about his belly than the things of God and the promises of God. So he didn't care about the birthright at all. But, Jacob was after that birthright because that was what he most cared about, was the birthright. But, of course, came about that their father was on his deathbed and he died. But before he died, he was going to put the blessing on the brother that was to receive the birthright, and that was Esau. And Esau was going to take that birthright, even though he had already traded it. And somebody's trying to call me. Okay, well, I'll pick that up. Let me check this out first. Your name and where you're calling from? You're on the air? Okay, well, that's my silent listener. But anyway, so Esau kept the birthright, even though he had already traded away. So Esau basically stole the birthright. And let me ask you, is it a sin? I mean, can you steal what belongs to you? No, you can't. But sometimes it seems like you have to get what belongs to you. You have to steal it back in the first place. So is it wrong to take from someone else what already belongs to you? And the answer, I'd say, would be no. And so, but they use serpent technology, deception, to right that wrong, both Jacob and his mother. And a lot of people, you know, they scorn Jacob and his mother for doing that. But was it really wrong that they did it, or were they not trusting in God? But here Jesus says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How do we apply that? Well, the first thing is that if you're going to use serpent technology, it's like if you were in Germany during World War II and you were hiding some Jews from the Nazis and you had to lie about it. See, that's using serpent technology as lying. But to save lives, you lie. And there's also several examples of that in the scripture also. But I say, you're walking, you need to, if you're going to use serpent technology, you have to use it with much trepidation anyway. Okay, let's see. Do you think David Knight can do a show on Abraham Lincoln or about the Jesuits? Why do you have to ask David Knight about that, Jason? He's talking to Dale. Yeah, everybody, David Knight's show ends just before mine begins. And I guess I should go over there and tell everyone to come over here, but I'm pretty busy, you know, looking at headlines and figuring out what I'm going to say for 2 hours. Yeah. And yeah, that's the way that works. But yeah, all those people should come over here, but they don't, obviously, because they're not here. So there you go. That's why we have to step up our game. When we see what the Marxist dragon-speaking crowd in America, we'll just call them the dragon-speaking horn or division of America, because that's what the horns are. They're divisions. And just trying to figure out where the division fits. But the horn-speaking, the dragon-speaking, the liars, the delusional ones in America, we have to step up our game and perhaps use some of their technology against them. But we're not going to do it to rob, kill, steal, and destroy them. We're just going to do it to, you know, take back what belongs to us and to judge that evil. Because the scripture does say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And if the gates of hell are what? Well, they're defensive on hell. And if they're not going to prevail against us, they're not using the gates against us. The gates are they're using to protect themselves. So we have to figure out a way to tear them gates down. That's right, not to get in, but to set the captives free. And there are a lot of captives out there. Yeah. Okay, so peace is breaking out in the Middle East, and Washington is not happy. Take, for example, the recent mending of relations between Saudi Arabia and formerly bitter adversaries Iran and Syria. A China broker deal between the Saudis and Iran has them reestablishing full diplomatic relations, with the foreign ministers of both countries meeting in Beijing last week. It is the highest level meeting between the two countries in 7 years. See, the Antichrist has been trying to foment wars over in the Middle East through Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. is one of his three city states. And if you want to learn a little bit more about that, go to my website there at crosstheborder.org, and you'll see up in the middle top of my homepage, there's an article there that says Empire of the City, the unholy trinity that rules the world. So check that out for a clue as to what Washington, D.C. really is. It is the capital of the dragon-speaking horn division of America. That's what Washington, D.C. is. Let me say that again. It is the capital of the dragon-speaking division of the United States of America, of that beast power. That's what it is. Okay, so they're not happy, as this article says. Peace is breaking out in the Mideast, and Washington, D.C., yeah, is not happy. That's right. Additionally, Riyadh is expected to invite Syria back to the Arab League, and Syrian President Assad may attend the next Arab League summit. Syria was suspended from the Arab League 12 years ago when then U.S. allies in the Middle East signed on to Washington's Assad must go policy that weekend. And that was Washington's policy, Assad must go policy, that wreaked havoc across the region. Also, at the same time, we have an upheaval going on in Israel right now. People rioting in the streets, they are not happy. And why are they not happy? Because the extreme government is now allowing persecution against their Arab citizens. And the people are not happy about it. So it shows you the power of the people is not the same as the power of the government. It's just like in America. Most of the people in America are not dragon-speaking idiots who don't know what a woman is. Yeah. That's the dragon-speaking part. They're the liars. They're the delusional ones. They're the ones who are swimming in corruption and have all the money power. Because, you know, I think God, by his wisdom, gave the power of money over to evil people. That's why they have the money power, is because they love money. Money is their God. And it is the root of all kinds of evil. But it's not by might, nor is it by the power of money, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how we win, by his spirit. That's right. So that's going on in the Mideast. So peace may be breaking out even between Israel. That's where it has to go. That's where it seems to be going. And that's where it has been going. Like when Donald Trump, who was much better at foreign relations than Biden will ever be, he made friends and made them unhappy at the same time. Biden just makes enemies of everyone, and nobody likes him ever anywhere at the same time. Him and his and the big guy, the secret big guy, that is Obama. What did Obama say? Yeah, the little people. Yeah, they do. They can't rule themselves. They must give their liberty up to an all sovereign government. Yeah. That's what a nice guy, huh? Okay, so the normal people, the idea of peace breaking out in the Middle East is a wonderful thing, but Washington is anything but normal. President Biden dispatches CIA Director William Burns to Saudi Arabia in a surprise visit last week, according to press. And see, they'll just hate him more for that. And that's what's going on. They're throwing off the Antichrist power in the Mideast that has kept them in turmoil so many years. And I believe that this is going to result in the Abraham Accord as being established in Israel. That's the outcome I see coming out of this. So whether I'm being prescient or not, I guess only time will tell. But I did write my book, The Abraham Accord, if any of you have read it, or in its previous, first version of the book was called When the Third Temple is Built. And I updated it for the Abraham Accord, because of the Abraham Accord. So we may get this play on the Temple Mount out of what is going on, but the pot is being stirred in the Mideast, and it looks like it's going to be stirred to bring about, peace in the Mideast, which means that we will have a temple-type building, at least. Not a true temple, but a temple-type building on the Temple Mount in the image of the Abraham Accord. So you can look up the Abraham Accord, or you can read my book, The Abraham Accord, for free. And if you're listening in the chat room, I'm going to put a link in there right now so that you can read it. And then when you read it, you find a place to click over here. Share it with everyone in your on your social media, wherever you want. Just share the link with everyone. So there it is in the chat room. And like I said, send it to everyone on your email list or on your phone to all your contacts. I don't care. Share it with everyone. The Abraham Accord. Of course, read it yourself first, and you'll get an idea of what I expect to happen, what I hope to see on the Temple Mount. Papacy has the deed to the Temple Mount. What does that tell you? Well, it's going to tell you the same thing that I'm saying in my book, The Abraham Accord. Yeah. So when they build a Christian cathedral and a temple and a national synagogue or temple-type synagogue on the Temple Mount and upgrade the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque there and with a, let's say, over 7 years. How about that? How does that sound? Let's say they do it over 7 years. They have a goal to have it all done in 7 years. And, does that ring a bell with anybody? So peace is breaking out in the Mideast. And this is what I see coming out of the peace, is the Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount. And then the rapture is not going to happen. It's going to expose the false prophecy, and I would praise God for that, and I would thank God for that, because it needs to be exposed. And of course, at the end, 2030, because that's 7 years away, 2030 is 7 years away. So if they start the Abraham Accord this year, If this peace breaks out and they begin the Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount, in 7 years is 2030. See how that's going to coincide? And I said that years ago, and I'm still saying it now. I might be wrong. Of course, I might be right, too. We'll see. But I think that the Antichrist wants to play out the 7 years so he can prove to the world that there is no rapture and that all that evangelical prophecy and Bible belief is wrong, but that he is right. That'll be the point. That's pretty much the gist of what you'll find out when you read the Abraham Accord Rapture PDF link I put there. You can also buy a copy of that on Amazon if you like paperback copies, or if you want to share it with anyone in real life. Okay. All right, let's see what else we got here. Another article just on the same vein, you know, proving my point, agreeing with me. Imperial Washington. Okay. And this gets back to the like a lamb, dragon speaking aspect of the beast. Now, when you take the description of a beast that's like a lamb, and you do what I did in my Beast Apocalyptic book, okay? Because what this is what the subtitle says it is, the Beast Apocalyptic. And the subtitle says, an exposition of the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel in the Revelation. So if you want to understand these symbols, the beast powers, and what the beast symbols and descriptions mean, well, we have to turn to the scripture itself. And all of the answers are there in Daniel and the Revelation together. When you put it all together, you start to understand what these symbols mean. Because God gave us symbols of other beasts and named those beasts as what they were. And you had the he-goat and the ram, which are both, I have sheep on my property and goats, okay? So I learned something about these critters. These are not aggressive critters, generally speaking. They're only aggressive against, say, the he-goats or the bucks are only aggressive if anything gets in the way of their conquest over their she-goats. Other than that, goats can be pretty friendly, but you don't want to get in their way when they're in their mad season. And that's the he-goat. And the ram is the same way. But these animals are usually prey to other animals. And that was Medo-Persia and Greece. And they became prey, of course, to Greece and then Rome, by whom they were conquered in succession, first by Greece and then by Rome. So they're not aggressive animals. So then later on, when the seventh beast, the final beast, shows up, the one that's enumerated in chapter 17 of the Revelation and is named in chapter 13 as a beast rising up out of the earth, well, you realize, well, this is the seventh beast. America is the seventh beast of Revelation. It's the second beast of Revelation 13, but the seventh beast enumerated in the whole of the Revelation. Okay? So when it rises up and it says lamb-like, well, it has nothing to do with a wolf in sheep's clothing. Not if we're going to go on the precedent set by the descriptions of the beast before it. So it's lamb-like would be an immature sheep, an immature male sheep. That's even more less aggressive than the Medes and the Persians were. As a matter of fact, that would be a people that could be pushed around fairly easily. But then there's this dragon speaking aspect to it. One of the horns is dragon speaking, and that's because the dragon speaking is aggressive and willing to cheat, kill, steal, and destroy. You'll see, even though it is equal in power in the height of the horns on the beast, it appears to be winning. But that's not the spiritual aspect. We're only looking at what is in the flesh and what is visible. But that which is invisible, the Spirit is telling us, is equal in power in this battle. And we know that we win because the power that we have is forever. Their power, the dragon speaking aspect of it, is only temporary. And we see this divide in America. And it seems like it just goes back. We're at that point where we're at the precipice, and the battle is raging and louder and more visible than ever before. And it just seems to go back and forth. But we're at that point in our history that it's quite a ride. So we'll see what happens. It's a very interesting time that we're in. It can be very dangerous too. But as Jesus said, we need to be wise as serpents. And that is to use every bit of technology that we can, as long as that we harm no one. Now, you can harm those, according to precedent also in Scripture, that seek to harm you. Someone's got pulls a gun, and they're going to shoot you, and you can stop them by whatever means necessary to defend yourself and your life and your family. We have precedent in the Scripture for that. But as far as doing harm to anyone, we have to have no desire to harm anyone whatsoever, even no matter how evil they are. We don't really desire to harm them if we're defending ourselves. So it's something that we really have to think about, and certainly we have to up our game if we're going to keep America free, or at least as free as it is, from going any further. Because we have all these deluded people that want slavery in America at the same time as we have perhaps half of the population, many of them not doing anything but bemoaning their loss. And then we have the active ones that will fight with everything they have to back it up and to back up the evil and to perhaps tear down the gates of hell to free some of those captives that are held captive against their will by the machinations of the dragon speaking powers in our world today. So, very interesting article, Imperial Washington, because it's not the United States that's imperial. It is the dragon controlled, or I should say controlled by the Antichrist, Washington, D.C., which is not even one of the 50 states. I think that it ought to be ceded back to the states, and that the government should be spread over, because they can zoom Congress now. They can zoom the Senate. These guys, our representatives, don't need to go to Washington, D.C. They should make a law that they have to stay home, that they have to live and reside in their district 90% of the time. Sure, they can go on vacations or whatever, like everybody else, but they should not have second homes in Washington, D.C., because the concentration of power in Washington, D.C. was established only for one purpose, by the Antichrist, in order to exercise corruption and gain control. And you can read F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, if you want a clue as to how that works and why it happened back when the Constitution was written. Okay? You'll get a clue as to what's going on if you read his book, Rulers of Evil. See, unlike the American Constitution, the law of Yahuwah is called the perfect law of liberty. It does not liberate evil. You know, well, that's true. You know, we know our Constitution is mundane. It's temporal. But the Word of God is forever. So thank you for that, Jason. But that's the truth. But what we have because those men, those liberty-minded men, fought for the Bill of Rights. And even though they're overthrowing that as fast as they can, it's only because there are people that are fighting back just as hard to keep what liberties we have, and hopefully to back it up a little bit, if possible. But we can never give up. We must always resist. Resistance is not futile. Yes, the Borg, the dragon-speaking Borg, may think that they can win, but they don't have the power of the Spirit. They only have the power of money and the power of might. But as the scripture says, it's not by might nor by power, even the power of money, but by his spirit. Okay, well, hey, that was the first hour. That went by really fast. And we've got more in the second hour, so make sure you come back. We're going to take a little break here. We'll have the top of the hour news, but I will be back, so don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur. And we were talking about Imperial Washington, the new global menace, it says. Well, not so. It's the new global menace is the old global menace, just under a new guise. Yeah, they love the idea of culpable deniability, especially after receiving that supposedly deadly head wound, or as it were to death wound. Yeah, they learned a lesson, a hard lesson in history, is not to stick their neck out there. But unfortunately for them, from what I read in the scripture, they're going to stick their neck out again once more. And this time they're going to get lopped off for good. You can read about that in the later chapters of the book of Revelations, chapters 18 and 19 to be specific, where the whore that rides the beast receives its judgment and is burned with fire. Yeah. And done by the 10 divisions of Western Europe. They seem to be the ones carrying out the will of God in that instance, according to the scripture. So some good news we have to look forward to in the future to come out of all the conflagration that's going on now. And I believe that's what I see developing right now with all of the dissatisfaction that is developing in Western Europe right now. Anyway, this article here, Imperial Washington, the new global menace, same as the old global menace, I will add. There is no peace on earth today for reasons mainly rooted in Imperial Washington. Of course, the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, seated in Washington, D.C. Not Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, Damascus, Mosul, or the rubble of what remains of Raqqa. Your name and where you're calling from. Yeah, well, thanks for the interruption. Okay, yes. I think someone just likes to interrupt me. There we go. So anyway, Imperial Washington, the shadow government seat that works, the seat of the shadow government in the New World that works for the Antichrist, Washington, D.C., Imperial Washington, has become a global menace owing to what didn't happen in 1991 when the USSR collapsed. At that crucial inflection point, Bush the Elder should have declared mission accomplished and parachuted into the great Ramstein Air Base in Germany to begin the demobilization of America's war machine. Oh no, too much money there. And what a great thing the dragon-speaking faction had going. Because every time they could start a little battle here or there, they and all their friends got very, very rich and made a lot of money by fleecing the American people. So that's the corruption is why they love it and why they keep it going. Plus, if they can bully people around the world into destroying their countries in order to the better of their coming in to take over, well, that's what they want, because after all, the Antichrist wants to rule the whole world. Yeah. So at that crucial inflection point, the article says, Bush the Elder should have declared mission accomplished. Yeah, New World Order Bush, right? And parachuted into the great Ramstein Air Base in Germany to begin the demobilization of America's war machine. Doing so, he could have slashed the Pentagon budget from $600 billion to $250 billion in $215. You know, we have to say that now. Even for, 8 years in the past? Yeah, that was $215. That's different than 2023 dollars. Demobilize the military-industrial complex by putting a moratorium on all new weapons development, procurement and export sales. Dissolve NATO. That's why one reason why I believe that they hated Trump, because he was trying to dissolve NATO, saying we're tired of paying. American people don't want to pay for NATO anymore. You do what's good for your country. I'll do what's good for my country. It's a win-win. That's what I loved about his foreign policy. Yeah. And compare that with Joe Biden's foreign policy. Hey, let's all get rich. We can get more money out of the American. We could squeeze those American pay those Americans for every drop of blood and sweat and tears we can get out of them, we can become very rich. All we need is wars so that we can funnel, you know, the money into the pockets of those we love and support the Antichrist and his machinations for world power. That's it. Okay. So, in doing so, yeah, he could have saved a lot of money, dissolved NATO, dismantled the far-flung network of U.S. military bases, reduced the United States standing army forces from 1.5 million to a few hundred thousand, and organized and led a world disarmament and peace campaign, as did his Republican predecessors during the 1920s. And see, that's what I would like to see, because the scripture doesn't say the two horned earth beast was blown up or anything. It just kind of fades away. It does these few things, which it has already done. America has already fulfilled its place on the world scene for what it was supposed to do. So to see its demise is actually kind of a relief. Yeah. To see the demise of America on the world scene is kind of a relief. So maybe we'll stop messing around in the world. Let China make peace, you know, and let's just come back home and let's work on ourselves and our country and fix the problems here. What do you say? We don't need any Republican neocons in the American government anymore. And we need to root out, yeah, those lizard, those spiritual lizard people. I don't believe in real lizard people, but I believe spiritually they are lizard people. Because the dragon is a lizard. And so if you have a dragon-speaking horn or division in America, they are the lizard people. Yeah. Unfortunately, George H.W. Bush was not a man of peace, vision, or even middling intelligence. Yeah, he was a puppet for the Antichrist. George H.W. Bush, when asked, What do you see when you look into the eyes of Pope? It was not Bergoglio, but the Pope before him, the Nazi Pope before him. He said, I see God. Well, he told everything right there, didn't he? He saw God in a man. He worshipped the man pretending to be God. So, hey, I guess the popes are the first transgenders. They're men pretending to be God. Well, they won't be the first to have done it, but they got a long line of transgender stuff going on there. So I'm suggesting perhaps really they are behind the whole transgender thing. Anything to destroy America. They've hated America because of the Protestant principles it was founded upon. That's why they hated America so. And they took advantage of those principles of liberty and freedom to overthrow America. And especially when they got their concentration of power written into the Constitution. Yeah, that was the big con of the Constitution, because of the Antichrist and the shadow government, anywhere they can concentrate power, they know they can gain control through corruption, because men are easily corrupted. Yeah, that's a fact of life. And they, knowing that, knew all they had to do was concentrate power, and eventually they would get their way on everything. And their first great coup, well, was the Civil War, when they kept the South from going because they were losing their concentration of power. Yeah, and they wanted to keep that. That's what the Civil War was really about behind everything else, was keeping the concentration of power in Washington, D.C. And then within 50 years, what do we get? We get the Federal Reserve Act. They finally got their central bankers, the Vatican bankers, entrenched in America. The Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury happened in 1913. And, of course, to enslave every single American, they had to get the income tax, which was only supposed to be on corporations and be a 1% tax on corporations and fictitious entities like the great trusts and so forth. That's why they have antitrust laws. But all of these fictional corporations and stuff were the ones that were supposed to be taxed because they received their permission to exist from the government. Yeah. So they were to be taxed at 1%. Yeah. Well, of course, by World War II, they tricked everyone into voluntarily paying income tax for the war effort. And of course, since then, you can see what's happened. So that's the way that works. But George H.W. Bush was not a man of peace, vision. He was the malleable tool of the war party, or of the Antichrist and his man God, man pretending to be God. The great line of transgenders, right? Let's just call them what it is. They're the great line of transgenders. All the popes, they're transgendered. They've transgendered themselves from mere men into God Almighty. But it's all a lie. It's a lying wonder is what it is. Yes, deceit and lying wonders. And it was he who single-handedly blew the peace when, in the very year the 77 years war ended with the demise of the Soviet Union, he plunged America into a petty argument between the impetuous dictator of Iraq and the gluttonous Emir Kuwait. But that was none of George Bush's or America's business, and I agree. So the article goes on. So I've got a couple articles there that make my point that America is in prophecy. It was not named because when prophecy was written, if a power hadn't rose already that the prophecy was about, it couldn't name it and wouldn't name it. I mean, God could have named it, but that would have caused problems if he would have named something that hadn't showed up yet. And he showed he had the power of doing it by naming kings before they were born in prophecies of Israel. Yeah. And that's interesting too. So you know God could have done it, but you also realize why he may not have chosen not to do it, because people would go out, would rise up to fulfill prophecy, but the prophecy would fulfill itself without any help from men. So that point well made in the scripture itself. Okay, now I need someone to call in and actually talk to me. Because I got more to say, just my throat's... drying out. Okay. Let's see, what else do we have? Peace is breaking out, Imperial Washington. Let's see what else we got here. The cultural decline of America and the West and the ensuing end of tradition and liberty. Well, that's what we're fighting against. And we don't have the power. The Americans just don't have the energy to fight a war in Iraq, or Ukraine and Russia and China. We don't need to. And we're at a dangerous point in history. And I'm really hoping that World War III will be the one that happens when Christ returns. Yeah, that's the World War III I'm hoping for, that we'll be able to back out of this thing before. Because I don't think the world, the powers that be, that are really in control of China, and I'm not sure about Russia. I think Russia may be rogue from the shadow government that practically rules the world today. Because the shadow government that works for the Antichrist has always had a problem. It's always had a few rogue governments that would not go along. That's what the history shows us. And the Bible told us would happen and did happen. And I guess will continue to happen. And I think that I have a feeling that Russia may be rogue. Maybe, maybe not. But there are agents for the Antichrist even in Russia. Those sneaky shadow government operatives that work for the Antichrist, they get in everywhere they can. They control all the massive fortunes. That's because money is their main power, and their love of money is what drives their machine through corruption, and that's how they get their way. But the problem with corruption and the power of money is that it's very deceitful. People are deceived by their riches, the deception of riches can be quite intoxicating. So it's no wonder that they're kind of stumbling around and making mistakes all the time. But God did say that he would have them in derision. Okay, so the cultural decline of America and the West, and we're seeing pushback now. I'm just hoping we can push back enough to overcome the cheating that's going on in the elections. That's where the serpent, the being wise as serpent, may come in handy, is if we can use that serpent technology to fight serpent technology. It's like using fire to fight fire. We need to use serpent technology to fight the serpent. Yeah. Because it seems that being loving your neighbor and loving your enemy in the case of a war is not a very good offensive weapon. Yeah. We can love them at the same time that we have to battle and defend and fight back against the evil that they're trying to impose upon the whole nation. Okay, let's see what else we got. 9/11, the COVID hoax, and the transition of government by emergency measures. We all understand what that's going on. The middle class will not be able to buy EVs. If you listen to David Knight, you know all about that, because he covers that with his friend Eric Peters quite often. Love to listen to Eric Peters. That's a show. That's an hour I don't want to miss when David Knight has Eric Peters on. And I'm sure everybody agrees with that. We all love Eric Peters. Yeah. EPautos.com, I think, is his website or something like that. All right, let's see. I got some more tabs here. Russia's rise. The West sanctions have awakened a sleeping giant. Yeah, Russia is Russia. And, you know, God's people are in Russia, too. despite what's everything that's going on. God's people are in China too. There are likely more Christians in China simply because there are how many billion people in China? Nearly 2 billion people in China alone, or 1.6 or something like that. I think their population is actually dropping now and has been dropping for years. But still, when you have that many people, and I don't know if their kill shot is actually killing them like it's killing Americans, you know, the kill shot, the Chinese kill shot. But I'm sure Xi Jinping probably cares as much for the people of China as Joe Biden cares about the people of America, since they both work for the Antichrist, meaning not at all. Yeah, because, you know, I've said it before that wherever you see, wherever totalitarian government is the strongest, that's where the Antichrist is the strongest. And I know the picture, they portray a different picture in China than that, but believe me, those sneaky shadow government operatives, that's the way they like it. Okay. Trump at the gates. Perhaps brilliant Democrat strategist pulled the strings of clearly vacuous Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, but to what avail? So, are they helping Trump to get in as president? Will the cheaters be able to continue to cheat enough to override Trump a second time? They didn't cheat enough the first time, but they were cocky. In 2020, they learned their lesson. I mean, they learned their lesson in 2016. They realized that they had to cheat so over the top that it would become apparent to everyone that they were cheating, but they would just deny it anyway. And they would try to criminalize anyone who didn't go along with their denial, right? Sounds like a familiar story, doesn't it? Because that's exactly what happened. So they knew they had to cheat over the top, even if it became apparent to everybody on the face of the planet that they were cheating. Because that's what it took in 2020 for them to cheat and beat Donald Trump. They just didn't cheat enough in 2016. And I guess I would be banned on YouTube. That's why I'm not on YouTube today, because I'm saying such things. And this broadcast will not be on YouTube. It will not even be loaded till up to YouTube later, because they will just strike me anyway. Yeah, if I do. So not going to do this. Okay, why Justice Thomas's friendship with Harlan Crow is good for American justice. Well, yeah, I looked into that, yeah, that whole thing, and I thought, oh, there's nothing here. They're just trying to make something out of nothing. It seems like when you get into high places in government, even if you're a good man, like I believe that Clarence Thomas is, because he takes the right stand on every decision that goes through the Supreme Court. So he's the man, you know. He should be the top justice in the Supreme Court. Although I don't believe in the supremacy of the Supreme Court. I think that like when the Supreme Court said that, nah, abortion's okay, I think that all of the states should have just ignored them and said, we're just going, you know, you don't like it, you know, enforce it on us. But we're not going along. And that's the unfortunate thing, is the states didn't realize they have the power to not go along with a Supreme Court decision that is so obviously unconstitutional, as more than several have been. But, you know, like, of course, the Obergefell and the Roe decisions were both totally unconstitutional. And should be, anything that is so blatantly unconstitutional should be ignored by the states. It's the power of the states to ignore it. I mean, if the president can ignore the Supreme Court, which presidents in the past, and the present one included, have decided just to ignore some Supreme Court decisions that they don't like, said, well, let them enforce it. Yeah, well, they have no enforcement arm, because they are the Supreme Court. It's the legislature that has to pass the laws that require enforcement. So the legislature then has to go along and codify whatever the Supreme Court decision is. Why progressives attack the Supreme Court? Well, we don't even have to read that one yes, and laughing at the lies of the left. Yeah, well, with what their lies are doing to America, the dragon speaking half of the country's lies are doing to America, it's not really a laughing matter. Okay, what else we got here? We have the Defender Children's Health Defense. And this is interesting. Doctors in Kentucky and California received millions in bonus payments for vaccinating Medicaid patients against COVID. And this was all because of the laws passed, Operation Warp Speed and the emergency orders passed by Donald Trump, that this all happened, and that even that most seniors in California and other countries, you know, older people who go to their doctor regularly would have this shot pushed on them, and so many of them did, and I know some that did, but I'm not one of them, because I'm not on Medicaid. I don't receive anything from the government. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The call-in number is 559. Find it there, 797-8537, if you'd like to call in. We got a half hour left, so don't wait for the last minute if you want to call in. 559-797-8537. There we go. Your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Jason, calling from Canada.
Okay, Jason from Canada. It's good to see you there in the chat room, Jason. Well, go ahead. You got the mic.
It's really choppy, but I'll do my best. I just wanted to know what you thought of the prophecy in Daniel, chapter 8, starting at verse 23. It speaks of a latter time kingdom. There would be a king of fierce countenance that understands dark sayings, that he'll have power. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And that he will destroy wonderfully. It says he will prosper, and he shall destroy the holy people. And it also says, and interesting, in verse 25 it says, through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And that word craft in the Hebrew also can mean sorcery or fraud.
Yeah, or sorcery could be...
That same king, actually, he stands up against the Prince of Princes.
Right.
And he is broken without hand.
So right.
That takes me back to Revelation, the stone cut without hands. It comes down and smites the image. So this, to me, is a direct prophecy of the Black Pope, the papacy, the Vatican. They have infiltrated all the government. They have great power.
Well, we learn in the Revelation that says that the dragon gave him his power. So his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. It's the power of the dragon or Satan. Yeah, that's what I would say.
And again, would you agree that? I'll hang up and let you talk about it. I just thought it's interesting that, like, from the way I see the papacy, this dragon gets part of the beast, which rules the nations. That they're ruling the nations by infiltration. They have all their secret societies. They get them in positions of power, and then they wield the governments at their will.
Yeah, they use the money power to bribe everyone that they can, or to otherwise, compromise them so that they can use them. Yeah.
Sorcery, okay.
Well, sorcery also refers to pharmakia in the Revelation, and boy, has that been a big one today. The power of pharmakia. How fitting.
Okay. That kind of jumps out at me as sort of the Masonic element and the, you know, all this secret knowledge type stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll hang up because I have a really bad connection coming from your end.
Well, you sound good here, so not a problem.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, but I'll let you take it from here. I just wanted to throw that out there. And
okay.
Thanks for a good discussion.
All right, Jason. Thanks. And anyone else can call in, just like Jason. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And the phone is working, obviously, despite the caller that calls in every week and says nothing. Yeah. I cover this one in my Beast Apocalyptic book because this is part of the Beast Powers that... between Daniel and the Revelation that work together, and I specifically have to go through this chapter of in my book. And let me see, what chapter is that? Chapter the Ram and the He-Goat is 7, and so after that would be 8, which would be, did I skip that there? Chapter 8, here we are. And, yeah, so I have a whole chapter on this. And I titled, one of my subtitles on that chapter is, A Little Horn Becomes a Mighty City. Because when you look at the horns, there's a little horn, because what we're speaking of is that little horn power. But anyway, what he was referring to here, now that being broken, where his foot four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power, okay? And his power be the king of Grecia. But in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So I see there the destruction of the Israel nation, which is what happened in 70 AD. So this is a definite reference to Rome and the several governors or rulers or imperial governors that ruled in the Roman Empire. So it's definite reference to Rome. And it says, and through his policy also shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, and he shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. What is the word we're looking for? It's not easily to decipher what these words mean, but there's a lot of clues in there for him to stand up against the prince of princes, which happened. That would be definitely a reference to Jesus. So again, referring to Rome and the several rulers of Rome, one of which did stand up against the princes of princes and put him to death at the behest of the religious rulers in Jerusalem, and had him crucified. But it says, but he shall be broken without hand, meaning the one that I guess was ruling at that time was broken without hand. That was his end. And I don't have all those details before me, and that weren't really appropriate when I was looking into the beast powers and related symbols of Daniel in the Revelation. But it's interesting when you get into Daniel, because the same period of history is covered in Daniel chapter 11, the history of the 70 weeks prophecy, okay, or the 70 weeks era. That 490 years era is what Daniel 11 covers, in the same way that the Revelation covers the time from 96 AD until Christ returns, okay? And that is like a primer to the Revelation, Daniel chapter 11 is. And I believe there's more details in there because it leads up to that era where Christ returns, and it covers the same era there. So you can get more details in chapter 11 about the happenings during especially at the end of the 70 weeks or 490 year era that was the time determined for Jerusalem, for the city, the nation, and the people. And their time came to an end 7 years after Jesus showed up on the scene during the 70th week, because the 70th week belonged to Jesus. You know, it's the dispensationalists, they robbed Jesus of the 70th week, which was his week. It was the Messiah's week, and they give it to the Antichrist. And that's in the same way that the amillennials want to rob Jesus of the millennium and, give it to nobody because they don't believe there's a millennium at all. They believe that we're already in a apocalyptic millennium, a symbolic millennium of a sort. So, as far as doing an exposition on chapter 8, I've done that before, have it on a book. And the book is called An Exposition of the Revelation. And I have that book over here somewhere. But I've also aired that many times. And also, you can listen to that if you go to my website and listen to my Revelation study. I believe this Revelation study is that study that from my book, An Exposition of the Revelation in the Historicist Method. So you might want to check that out. You can check out, that there. Okay, let's see. What else do we have as far as news, since we have no more callers? And if you have anyone has any specific questions rather than general, because general just can get too deep, and I would have to prepare for something if you want a general discussion on a certain chapter that goes into depth, that would take a little preparation before I go onto the air. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh yeah, we were looking at that, millions paid to doctors. Here's another one. BBC veers from official narrative, reports on AstraZeneca vaccine injuries and lawsuit against the drug maker. So BBC, I guess maybe it's not getting enough money from Pfizer that they're now reporting the truth about the vaccine. So you can see the tide is turning. I would like to see the tide turn on America. Well, I think the tide is turning in America because we have so much alternative news sources now, but it still seems that more than half of the country is still hooked on what's called the mainstream media. It's as if all we have is three stations on analog TV like we had from 1955 until we got the internet. We had three major networks, and that was all we had. But we don't have that anymore. We have the whole internet. We have First Amendment Radio, and we have David Dite, and we have others out there in between, and we have some pretenders like Alex Jones out there. Yeah, so we have alternative media, but there's a lot of good alternative media on this, especially if you get into certain topics like on the vaccine. You got Stu Peters, and you have David Dite, and you have a child health defense, and they have video network and radio programs and podcasts too. So there's a lot of good stuff out there to keep you apprised of what's going on. And there are many people fighting for your liberty, the liberties that are enshrined in our Bill of Rights. We need to fight very hard because they're slipping away as fast as the totalitarians can take them away from us. They're working very hard. It appears that we haven't been working as hard as them, but I believe that may be turning around, and it's the only thing that's going to save America from becoming a totalitarian Marxist state. Like I said, the scripture does not tell us about the end of the two-horned earth beast, so it doesn't say it was destroyed. It doesn't say it was taken over by it doesn't say the dragon's hide won. It just has those two horns that remained equal during its life. So that means that we have to keep battling and fighting until Christ comes. Yay. Yeah, that's what I could say about that. So when I see China working on peace deals in the world, I say, well, that's the job that we should have been doing, and perhaps we may have done here and there in the past, but like I said, easily corrupted by the Antichrist and the power he has in his third city state, Washington, D.C. So, yeah. So let's leave it to China. He has, see, and if the Antichrist, you know, since he does control China, well, this is his way to take the place, because people are turning against America. Because wherever the Antichrist rules, he wears out his goodwill and welcome, or his appearance of goodwill and his welcome. So the Antichrist has used Washington, D.C. and used America, and perhaps used us up, and perhaps maybe he'll just start using China now. What do you think? And you know what? In the anti-prophecy, I still don't find China in the Revelation. So what happens to China is not a big thing on the world scene of what Revelation has to talk about. But we know who the Antichrist is. We know where he controls and where he does rule in the whole world. We know where his vassal states are. And it's easy to see. So that's kind of the picture I see, is the Antichrist moving to China, because the Antichrist has, over for the last 60 years, through his shadow government operatives, moved all the wealth of America and all the industry of America to China. Much closer for him than across an ocean, right? Yeah. So, but he's going to be outed, and that's the good news, like I said. All right. Let's see what else we have here. The COVID vaccine efficacy narrative is falling apart. You think? Yeah. Plastic-based fuel. Big Pharma watch. And me, it's getting near the end of the hour, and I'm running out of gas here, so. And no callers. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Jason. It was good to hear from you. And good to see you there in the chat room, Stephen. It was good to talk to you the other day, off air. Specific question, what happened to Tom Fress, and why did he leave? Well, Tom Fress decided that there was something more important than outing the Antichrist. He wanted to jump on the Seventh-day Adventist Saturday Sabbath train, and he wanted to start beating people up for going to church on Sunday. And I told him that that I think that he should do more research and handle that question in specific broadcasts rather than sprinkling it in with his regular broadcast, to handle it separately as an issue, and but to do a lot more research before he became dogmatic on it. Well, he accused me of censoring him, and I said, no, I'm not censoring you. I'm just asking you to do it in a different way. And to do your research, because he admitted to me that he hadn't even decided whether it was a Saturday Sabbath or a monthly Sabbath that he was trying to defend, but he had chosen Saturday for his weekly Sabbath, and that he was trying, and then he was then beating up other people for going to church on Sunday. But, and I would say that God owns every day, so you can worship God on any day you want, and you can do your regular, you can take your regular rest on any day you want. It doesn't matter to God, you know? And so that was what it was all about. And I was sorry to see him go. I tried to talk him into finishing the series he was into at the time, but still now he won't answer me or talk to me or anything. So, it's kind of sad, but he did a lot of good work when he was here, and I recorded all those broadcasts. I sponsored his broadcasts and paid for it out of my own pocket and with the help of those that support First Amendment Radio for all those years. So I have those and I play them because they weren't his work. He was reviewing the work of others and all these great historical books that we have, and he was bringing all that information to light. So all of those broadcasts that he did are still good and valid and just as appropriate today as then. But anyway, that was that, and I wanted him to come back. I've tried to talk to him, but he just won't answer me, and so I can only do what I can do, and he had health problems when he was here toward the end anyway, and I know that he had a lot to deal with there on his own. So I held no animosity or anything against Tom. I love him and I pray for him. I consider him my brother in Christ. I've gone down wrong roads before myself, and God has pulled me out, and I still may have some error in my thinking. It's likely I do. It's likely we all do. So I'm not going to beat up anybody. I mean, I've researched into Luther and Calvin and all the great men of the Bible, and they all, you know, had errors in their lives, and they were imperfect men, just as we are, and just as I am and Tom is. So I can't hold anything against them, and so I won't. And that's that. And, the thing is, we continue to walk in Christ, and he continues to perfect us, to work his work of repentance in us. And that work will continue. He will continue the work that he started in us. He will bring us to full completion by the time that we get to check out here and go to meet him in the air when he comes. And that's the day that's our blessed hope, that we will, is the resurrection, that we will meet him in the air when he comes, and we will come back with him. Yeah, time travel, that's what I'm talking about. For all those people, they're already there. It's like I told my sister when she died in 1985, that look for me when you get there, because I'll be looking for you. Yeah, because if she time traveled from then and I time traveled from now, we would get there at the same time. So it's not like you're laying around in the grave and doing soul sleep. And I don't think we need an intermediate state like the amillennials have conjured up out of thin air. It's like that pre-trib rapture. They conjured up an intermediate state out of thin air. It's like, you know, they have fictional movies of time travel. You know, you don't get in the time machine and twiddle your thumbs for 50 years to go 50 years in the future, you get there instantly. Well, I believe God can do a better job than that even, that we're not going to be sleeping in the grave. But for those that are alive and remain, we leave behind or have left us behind, to us perhaps, who are going through time minute by minute, second by second, fraction by fraction, to them, yeah, they're sleeping, but we're the ones who are really waiting the time out, not them. So people have questions about that. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the amen there in the chat room. Rose says, that's too bad about Tom. Just pray for him. It's okay. He'll be all right. I have confidence that we will see him in the resurrection. At least, you know, I'm going to believe that for now. Yeah. Tom was, as far as I knew him and what I know of his character, he's one of the good guys. Okay? Yeah. So. All right. What else we got? We got 5 minutes left. Well, you're listening to First Amendment Radio, and that is my tent-making ministry, if I'm going to compare it to Paul, who worked with his own hands to minister. That's what I do. I operate First Amendment Radio. It runs 24/7. It has various audio streams and video streams that run continuously. And we have a lot of great programming here, a lot of great news. We re-air because we're in California and a lot of people are sleeping when David Knight begins his broadcast. So I re-air it in the afternoon and early in the morning for those that get up before David Knight starts to air his broadcast and replay the previous days or play the program later in the day. So you can listen to that there. And I'm probably the first one to get it out on an audio podcast, because I have to edit it to air later, so I put it out there usually by 11, unless it's Wednesday when I'm doing this broadcast. I, of course, don't have time to edit the program. It takes me 10 or 15 minutes to edit it and get it out, because I have to edit it to fit in 3 hours in the afternoon, three segments, and then put it on the podcast player. But it's usually out there, and I'll have it out there by noon today. So it's usually out there by noon or 11 every day. And that's all I have time for today. So I want to thank everyone for showing up today. And keep listening to First Amendment Radio. Tell everyone about our Mobi app. Press the mobile button up there, and you'll have our Mobi app. It's a web-based app. You don't have to get it at the Google Store. May the Almighty bless you and keep you till we meet again.